Coffee, it's back there on our my left and your right right now, but back in the back in front of the sound booth. And then there's granola bars and some other things that, but they go down from the health meter from there. So granola bars is the top, and so it goes down in nutritional value from there. So, but it's good to see you this morning, and so we're joyed to get to have you here, and trust that that everything will be profitable, and our Brother Daniel will introduce our speaker just in a moment. But in case, as he gets started, you say, well, that's not exactly where I serve. I'm not sure of all of the different aspects of the seminar, the sessions today, but everything will be beneficial for whatever area you do, because there's so many principles involved. If he speaks on adult class, it transfers to a junior class and a beginner and primary, or if he speaks on the other, then it also translates into being good for adult classes as well. So everything will be a blessing, I know, and we're looking forward to all that we have today. But just so we can get you started in royal fashion, we've got our, I said lucky seats, but Brother Daniel said blessed seats. So he's a little more spiritual than I am apparently this morning. So on this side, we're looking at four rows back. So one, two, three. Oh, Brother Trent, you just missed it. Okay. Fourth row, Miss Garst, and then three and one, two, three, Miss Phyllis. There you go. Look at that. Wow. We're going to tape a little piece of paper under the chairs, but then as you look down at your chairs, you'll see they're see-through. So, and I knew you Baptists would cheat. And as soon as you saw the paper underneath one, then you would sure take it. So on this side, row six, one, two, three, four, six, the one that's nobody right there on the aisle, but then six from there. You six seats, Brother Daniel. How is that? And if we don't have enough seats, then it'll go back to the first one. Your hats? Go give his hat a candy bar, would you? I've never heard an excuse, even in all the times I've taught teenagers and kids. I've never heard such a lame excuse. But let your hat have a prize. So. Well, it is a joy to get to have you here. Brother Daniel will come in just a moment. But I want to start the day off with prayer, asking God's blessings upon what goes on. And I know that it'll be a great blessing to us. Father, we are thankful for the chance to gather. It's a joy to get to be here, dear Lord, and it's good to fellowship. And, Lord, we're so thankful for all of your goodness. Lord, the nip in the air this morning reminds us of you changing the seasons, especially where we get to live. And, Lord, it's just a blessing to be up and about and be here with your people today. I ask you to put your hand on all that goes on today. May you equip us to be better servants for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Daniel.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. We are looking forward to a great time, and it's my privilege just to have the small part of introducing our speaker for this morning, and he'll be with us all weekend for different capacities, but we have Brother Gabe Rule here with us today from Lancaster Baptist Church, and he's the executive pastor there helping Pastor Chapel with a lot of the administrative affairs, oversees a lot of the Sunday school and teaches the Sunday school class, and has been a man that has been greatly used of God in the lives of many, and that includes my family. My wife and I have looked up to the Rules since the time that we got introduced to them when we were in college. And so the whole weekend we were planning, obviously, with my ordination coming up tomorrow, and we thought, how can we best make the weekend what it ought to be? And so we decided to have this meeting today to allow our church to benefit from the experiences and the training that Brother Rule has received and has learned along the way. And as Pastor said, he'll teach you some things this morning, things that he has not just studied in a book, but he has practiced again and again as he has built a Sunday school class by the grace of God and with the help of his wife, I know. And so as we listen today, it's our privilege to just learn from one who has been in the trenches, just like all of us have been, and also for me, I know, and so we pass that on to you, someone that I know is a great example of just being a godly man in the ministry, serving the Lord alongside of his pastor, and you'll learn a lot from him today. So I won't take any more of his time. Brother Rule, you come, and we're glad to have you here this morning.
Great, Brother Danny. Thank you so much. And what a joy it is to be here. And my wife and I have been looking forward to this event. Pastor, thank you for letting us come. And this was one of the events scheduled as other meetings that we had. And then COVID came and things have changed. And that was to be back in April. And then having the privilege to come here and be a part of the meeting at this time of year. But it's great because I told my wife, I said, I think we're going to be there as fall hits. We're going to get to see some of the fall colors and so on. And I don't know how many of you have been to Lancaster, California. It is in Southern California. It's actually the northern part of Los Angeles County, and it's right in the middle of the Mojave Desert. So it basically looks just like it looks here. If you could envision here after like a nuclear bomb went off or something like that, that's about the correlation. And we have trees. They're called Joshua trees, and they're big cacti, and we have a lot of tumbleweeds, and it's got a beauty all its own. We love it. I was talking to some folks this morning, and they said, well, you have the ocean, and that's true. We do. Our family loves to go to the ocean, so every part of God's creation is beautiful, but we're enjoying being here and in the mountains and in the trees and as well the fall weather this morning. We've enjoyed that, and it's been great. So, Pastor, thank you for letting us come. Danny, we're excited for you and the ordination tomorrow and just looking forward to being with you as a church family this weekend and then getting to be involved in this morning. And I, as Danny mentioned, I have the privilege of teaching a Sunday school class. I have the privilege of doing a training like this at our church and other churches, and I'm going to do my best this morning to be relevant and practical to everybody, whether you're teaching an adult class or children's class, if you lead nursery or ushers or bus ministry, whatever the case may be. Hopefully some things today covered will be principles that you can take and apply to more effectively serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're walking in, Pastor said, man, I'm impressed your wife came to hear you at 6:30 a.m. your time. And she is doing quite well. And it reminded me probably one of the worst time change experiences I had. I was preaching for a pastor friend in Georgia, and I flew in late the night before, and I knew I was going to do some training like this the next morning for some staff. But he said, you know, Brother Rule, I would like for you to do an extra session just with the men on staff tomorrow morning. I said, oh, I'd be happy to do that, no problem at all. He said, now, we have men that work in the Christian school as well, and they need to be in their classroom by 7:30. So I'm thinking we should do this session at 6:30. And I said, you got it. I'd love to do that. And so that was going to be 3:30 a.m. my time. So the next morning, it was a very brief night of rest. I do remember that. And I got up and I went there and I thought, I mean, speaking at 3:30 my time is one thing, but I felt bad for these guys at 6:30. I mean, it was the look of, I have to be here, but I don't want to be here. And we got through that session. The only good part about that session was they did cater in Chick-fil-A for breakfast. So at least they got that. And I was telling the dear couple right here, I said, I don't know about the teaching this morning, but the refreshments you're having are good. So hopefully it's worth that, and appreciate you being here today and a part of this time. In this first session, we're going to talk about building a vibrant ministry. Now, a vibrant ministry is not built on its own. Think about your class, your area of ministry, your bus route, your team, whatever the case may be as far as where you serve here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We want it to be vibrant. And I hope that the very fact that you're here this morning indicates that whatever ministry you're involved in, you want it to be vibrant. Why would you come out on a Saturday morning to hear some guy from California unless you really wanted your ministry to be all that it can be for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that's your heart. I'm grateful for it. That's my heart. So we're of a kindred spirit this morning that what we do for the Lord, we want it to be done with excellence. And in this session, we want to discover some building blocks of what makes a effective ministry vibrant, a ministry where lives are being transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some things philosophically, we're going to look at some things methodologically, and look at some tools and ideas and principles that we can apply that will help us to create a culture of growth. Anything that is alive is growing. And when we think about ministry, we think about growth. And that's tangible in lots of ways. It might be numeric growth. It might be spiritual growth. It might be a maturity of somebody through trial. There's lots of ways to measure that, but indeed we want to see growth. So what are growing, vibrant ministries doing? What makes them tick? If we were to analyze, if we were to take the principles that they're built upon, what would those be and how can we apply them to the ministries that we're involved in? And that's what I want us to jump in and look at in this session. I think you've got a handout. That'll help us to cover it in the time that we have. First of all, we would find that they are mission-focused. That they are mission-focused. And you want to make sure in the ministry that you are involved in, that you are indeed ministry and mission focused. And you say, well, I don't know what the mission of my ministry is. Then find out from your pastor what that is. And he might be like, I'm just getting here and figuring it out too. I don't know. And you'll figure it out together. I don't know. But what is the mission of the ministry in which you lead or in which you participate? Danny mentioned, my wife and I, we teach a class. So the mission of our class is to reach people, teach people, minister to people. It's very simple. That's what we exist to do. We want to reach people, teach people, and minister to their needs. And fundamentally, Matthew 28 gives us the great commission of a mission for a ministry. We want to go, we want to evangelize, we want to baptize, and we want to disciple. And so we'll talk about that probably in both sessions. That's something I'm passionate about, and it doesn't really matter what title of ministry I'm in. I might be in charge of the refreshments for this meeting, or running the camera back here, or helping to set the chairs, or directing the parking, or ushering, or watching the children, or teaching, or whatever the case may be. But everyone, in any capacity, should be passionate about reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure that we are staying mission-focused. Now, mission drift happens when we begin to get away from mission. It's like being killed by being nibbled by 1,000 ducks. It's going to take a long time, and it's painful, and it happens one decision at a time. And you want to be careful that in ministry, and I was humbled. I was talking to some, and Les, I think it was your parents, and been in the church over 40 years, I think teaching fifth grade boys, you told me 44 years. I was thinking, he's been teaching longer than I've been alive. What in the world am I doing here to add value to him? But I'm going to do my best. And it's a humbling experience for sure. But if we're not careful, as we have been faithful, we can also find a tendency to kind of get off track of what mission was. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Am I still in the heart of what God has called me to do? Did you know that Harvard University, when it was founded, the purpose of the university was to prepare ministers of upright character? So here was an institution established for the preparation of ministers, and now it has left mission. It's no longer on point. And sadly, there are many churches today. There are many ministries today that are no longer doing what they set out to do for mission. Back in 1629, a favorite wife of an Indian ruler, Shah Jahan, died. And he ordered that a magnificent tomb would be built in her honor. In fact, a special piece of parcel was purchased for the project. And they took the casket in which she was buried, and they literally took it and set it right in the middle of the parcel of ground. And the project was begun in the construction of this monument to her memory. But years into the venture, the Shah began to be so consumed with the project that he forgot why it was he was building the project. In fact, one day when he came to survey the progress of the project, it's noted that he tripped over an old wooden box. And when he did, he told some of the servants that they were to get rid of the box. And it was months later that he discovered that he had gotten rid of the body of his deceased wife. Now, in the process, he built the Taj Mahal, but he forgot why he built it. And it's interesting in ministry life that sometimes we can get so wrapped up in what we're doing or how it looks or how long we've been doing it or whatever that we can forget the why. The why is changed lives. The why is the power of the gospel. It doesn't matter how amazing the gift is wrapped if we're not giving it to anyone. We can talk about the proficiency of the paper and the beauty of the ribbons and whatever. That's not my department. That would be my wife for sure. My idea is just throw it in a gift bag. That's the easiest way to get it done and hand it to them. But we can talk about the wrapping all day long. It's about the gift. And we want to make sure that in ministry, irrespective of what ministry we're involved in, that we understand the importance of being laser focused on our mission. What makes a growing, vibrant ministry a possibility? They're mission focused. They know exactly why it is what they're doing. Number two, because they have a committed leader. Because they have a committed leader. You're showing commitment by being here this morning, and I'm so grateful for that. The Bible says, no man having put his hand to the plow is fit, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We're reminded this morning that commitment is not a spiritual gift, it is a choice. Everyone in this room can be, and I would say should be, committed. Vince Lombardi said, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. And it's so important that we are committed to the ministries that we have been given. Why? Because everything rises and falls on leadership. If you're not committed to your ministry, why would anybody else be committed to your ministry? You're leading your ministry. You're involved in your ministry. It's imperative that you are committed to your ministry. Suzanne and I have the privilege of overseeing the couples retreat at our church, and we love it. We love that event. We love speaking and being a part of those. And a couple years back, we were putting one on, and we had some churches in the area there where we minister in Southern California reach out and say, hey, could we come and be a part of that event? And we said, sure, we'd love for it. That'd be great. And one particular church in Pasadena had a member by the name of Charles Hall. And Charles called me and said, hey, we're going to be coming with our pastor in our church. And he had some questions about it. And I said, I'm so excited you're coming. And I got to meet him at our couples retreat. And I found out that he and his wife had been married for 65 years. 65 years. The next year, we were going to have couples retreat, and he signed up and registered to come again. And then he called me and said, I just wanted you to know we got registered, but this year we're not going to be able to come. My health has been failing. I'm not able to drive as far. And I just wanted you to know, unfortunately, we wanted to come, but my wife and I are not going to be able to come. And I said, well, we're so sorry. We'll send you the money. We'll try to send you recordings of the sessions or whatever. About a week before the couples retreat, Charles Hall called me again. He said, you won't believe what happened. We got a ride to and from the venue, and we're going to come to couples retreat for our 66th wedding anniversary. And I told that story at our couples retreat, and I said, I hope when Suzanne and I have been married for 66 years, first of all, I hope I live that long, but number two, I hope that when Suzanne and I have been married for 66 years, that my heart is still a heart of, I will do anything it takes even to secure a ride to go to couples retreat because I want to continue to grow. And I thought a lot about that when it comes to ministry. If we're going to have a vibrant, growing ministry in any area in which you may represent in this church this morning, it's imperative that there at the helm is a committed leader. Someone who is committed to the task, someone who is committed to the opportunity, someone who is committed to their own development. It's been said, if it is to be, it is up to me. Zig Ziglar said, if you're looking for a helping hand, there's one at the end of your sleeve. And sometimes we're kind of looking for others, and we should be developing others, but we need to make sure that we, as the leader of the ministry, the area in which we're serving, indeed are committed. And we want to make sure that as we think about our ministry and the ownership and the passion that we have for it, that there's the heart of a committed servant indeed. David Livingstone was greatly used of the Lord in Africa, as many of you know. And as he was beginning his ministry, a missionary society had some young recruits that wanted to go and serve with missionary David Livingstone. And so they wrote missionary Livingstone and they said, we have some young men that would like to come and to minister with you. Do you have good roads to get where you are there in Africa? And David Livingstone wrote back and he said, if you have men that will come only if there are good roads, I don't want them. I want the kind of men that will come if there are no roads at all. And we want the kind of people serving the Lord Jesus Christ that will serve if there are no roads at all. That there's a level of commitment to the service under the Lord. You say, Gabe, why is this important? Because when I settle my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, it solves two issues for me for life. Number one, the quality of my ministry. If I am doing what I am doing for the Lord, then I will always do my best. Because He deserves nothing less. So I may not get the candy bar because I sat on the sixth chair in the sixth row. I may not get the award at the end of the year at the whatever meeting. I may not get the pat on the back. I may not get mentioned from the pulpit. None of that may happen, but it's okay. Because I'm doing what I'm doing for the Lord. And so it's going to solve the quality of my ministry. But secondly, it's going to solve the durability of my ministry. If I am doing what I am doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can. And I'm blessed to be in here with many who have been serving the Lord for decades. I commend you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we need you. We were talking about, I just want to finish well. We need you to finish well. And commitment will help you to finish well. So we want to be laser focused. What is our mission? We want to be committed as the leader. This is super practical. But what are vibrant, growing ministries doing well? Thirdly, they have first-time guests. They have new people. They're growing and they're vibrant because they've got fresh blood is a part of the body life of the church. Now, I want to encourage you in your area of ministry to always be looking for prospects. Everywhere you go. Last night, we got in a little later and the body clock was maybe still on California time. So I think it was 9 o'clock, but we went over to Cracker Barrel. We had to get a good meal. We don't have Cracker Barrel where we live. And so we were there having dinner last night and we met Rodney. And Rodney was our server. Rodney's been working at Cracker Barrel for over 20 years. Very nice gentleman, great service. And when we finished up our meal, we asked Rodney, have you ever heard of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? And he said, yes, I have. In fact, many of their people come here to Cracker Barrel. So evidently where we were, you all have made a great impression on Rodney there and on the establishment of Cracker Barrel. So that was good. And we said, well, we're going to be there for the weekend. We'd love to invite you to church. And Rodney said, well, I go to such and such church and told us a little bit about that. But you always want to kind of be looking for who can I invite to church? Who would be a prospect for my ministry? Who can I be a blessing to? And always being conscientious of people around you and the divine appointments that God may put in your life. Now, as God gives you someone new in your ministry, and it might be a lady, it might be a man, it might be a fifth grade boy, it might be someone on the bus route, whatever the case may be. And I know right now with COVID, things are different. The pastor's wife, Amy, was telling us about we're back, but we don't yet have Sunday school and some of that. We went 206 days. Not having our class. And we had it 2 weeks ago. And I'm telling you, it felt like everybody was a visitor. I mean, it was the craziest thing in the world. And of course, during that time, we had been on video and we had done some other things. But 206 days in between meeting in person, and we're just getting back into it. And even on the flight over, Susanna would say, honey, it's okay, it's okay. It's only 2 weeks, you know. This is a problem. You know, we got to fix this or whatever. But I'm excited. We're back into it and we're getting it to where it needs to be. But when God sends us someone that is new to our church or to our ministry, boy, we want to steward that well. And I want to encourage you to follow up and make sure that you're communicating to that individual your gratitude that they came. Listen, probably the most, I teach the His Design Couples class. That's what it's called, His Design. Probably the most important job in that class is not mine. It's fulfilled by a lady named Marion Parra, John and Marion. And here's what their job is. Their job is to get the information of first-time visitors. Now, we started back 2 weeks ago on October the 7th. We moved into Wednesday night for some construction reasons. And on that night, to God be the glory, we had 13 first-time visitors to our couples class. They had never been to couples class in the history of the church. It was their first time. And people that the Lord had allowed us to reach kind of during the COVID season. So they all came that night. And I told John and Marion, and Susanna helped them. I said, now you guys got to be ready because we're going to have visitors and we've got to get that information. And I want the kind of people that when first-time visitors come are so passionate about getting their information that they'll chase them to their car in the parking lot if they have to, because we've got to get that information. Why? Because I want to lead a ministry that's growing And you can't grow without new people, and you're not going to keep new people unless you act like you want new people to come. And I want to be able to visit new people, take them a gift, and steward all of that well. So I need someone to help me that when God gives us a new person, get their information. And John and Marion do it fantastic. And they did so the other night as well. But when we get a first-time visitor, then we want to make sure we're following up. And that applies to every person in this room, someone that you see that is new, a new child in your class, a new baby in your nursery, a new adult in your adult class, someone that just sat in your row that you've never met before. Extending a courtesy of getting to know them. Well, I'm glad you're here. Have you met the pastor yet? And then if you're following up on someone from a class perspective, well, you never want someone to visit your class, infant through adult, without getting to their home in the first 6 days and seeing the white of their eyes. I have been to homes 3, 4, 5 times in 1 week, just trying to catch someone home. In fact, at our class, Pastor, our neighbors came. And I don't think my neighbor is saved. And he works on Sunday. We had to move our class to Wednesday for construction reasons. And I went to him. I said, Jason, I've invited you. You always told me you have to work. Well, guess what? We moved the day of the class. You don't have an excuse, bud. You got to come. And he was like, okay, we'll come. And so he and Brandy came, and I was so excited. I was like, man, our neighbors are here. This is great. And we're praying for their salvation. So we had class Wednesday. So I went by Thursday night with a gift. Weren't home. I went by Friday. Weren't home. Went by Saturday. Weren't home. And now I'm starting to feel like, you know what? I think they may have been home, but they didn't answer the door. I did something. I said something. Something went wrong, and they didn't like it. We kind of prayed about it Sunday. We talked about it Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday night, I was in my backyard, and I was grilling. And I saw Jason over the wall doing something in his backyard. And I said, okay, this is a little, you know, different, but I've got to find out what's going on with Jason. So I walked over to the block wall between our, and Southern California, that's the way it all is. We don't like anybody, so we all have block walls. So I'm standing at our block wall. I'm looking over the block wall. There's Jason back there. I said, Jason, how you doing? He said, man, I'm doing great. I said, hey, man, I've tried to stop by a couple times this week and see you, and I just wanted to say thank you for coming to our class. He said, I know you've tried to stop by, and I've been out a lot this week. And I was like, okay, well, at least he knows I've been trying, you know. And I said, I hope you enjoyed it. He said, we loved it. My wife and I came home and we talked for hours about what we learned, and we're already looking forward to being back tomorrow night. And I was like, yes, you know. And here I thought they were offended and weren't going to talk anymore. And sure enough, they were back this past Wednesday. If you think to pray for them, Jason and Brandy, they need to be saved. So we want to make sure that we're seeing first-time people and that we're following up. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more in the next session as well. Number four, they have more excitement about the future than the past. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I believe Buffalo Ridge has an incredible history. If I understand, I think maybe one of the oldest or the oldest Baptist churches in Tennessee. Lots of amazing history. I think we're in one of the old or original auditoriums, and just amazing the things that God has done. And to God be the glory for all of that. But it is really important with this group that there is more excitement about what is yet ahead than there is about what has happened. I'm not talking about forget what has happened. I'm not talking about don't thank God for what has happened. But when the water cooler talk is always about remember when, remember when, remember when, remember when, then everybody who's here now is like, well, what about now? Is it basically that we're just going to kind of ride on what's happened? You lose the momentum for now if the energy is always about what has been. Now, thank God for what has been. Let's not forget what has been. But there has got to be in this room a unified passion and excitement for what is going to happen. What's coming? What's on the horizon? We like to say Lancaster Baptist Church all the time. The greatest days of Lancaster Baptist Church are still ahead. Well, what does that do? It tells everybody in the room, buckle up, because good stuff is still going to happen. You say, yeah, but you're in the middle of COVID and all this crazy stuff is happening. We know, but we still believe that the greatest days are still yet ahead. And it is so important that you believe that down deep in your heart and know the importance of we've got an excitement about where we're going. Man, I've been teaching fifth grade boys for 44 years, but what I'm going to teach in January, it's going to be amazing. And the stories and the activities we're going to have, it's going to be like never before. There's an excitement for what's coming. There's a passion about what lies ahead. That is important for a vibrant, growing ministry. It's like the young man who came to an established, traditional, older church. And he was called to be the pastor. And he began to love God, faithfully preach God's word, and reach people. And God began to bless that church. It began to grow. And it soon became evident that the meeting space they had was not adequate for what God was doing in the church. They were going to need to expand or build or sell and move or something. And the young man was so stirred in his heart about what God was doing there. And so he prepared a business meeting, getting the leaders of the church together. God had given him some vision to share about what the Lord had been doing and now what he felt the church should do in moving forward and acquiring new facility, new building, and growing. So he called the meeting together and he stood behind the lectern and he was nervous and he cast that vision. He was a young man and lots of people in the church had been there a long time. And he finished sharing that vision and he was excited to see what was the church's reaction. Well, an old brother in the back stood up and said, "Pastor, I love you and I appreciate your enthusiasm, but we can't leave this church. The pulpit you just stood behind, my grandfather made that. The pew I'm sitting in, my dad built that. The pole I'm standing next to, I was saved right here as a boy. I love you, Pastor, but we can't move from this place." The pastor was just kind of devastated, crushed. I mean, he had this vision, he had this excitement, and here's where the church was going. And then, how do you respond to that? And while he was collecting his thoughts and trying to figure it out, an old lady in the back stood up and said, "Pastor, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to motion that we give this gentleman the pulpit, the pew, and the post, and we move on with the program and plan that you have set for us." And the young man liked that. He was like, "All right, let's do that indeed." And what was that? That was someone who understood, thank God for the heritage that we have. Thank God for what has been done. But let's move forward for the cause of Christ. The greatest days are yet ahead. Growing, vibrant ministries have people with vision. And can I just ask you, for your area of ministry, what is your vision? What is your dream? What are your plans? What are your goals? And you say, "Gabe, we're just kind of coming back to ministry." I know. We went 206 days not teaching our class. And we've had two classes. And I'm still trying to figure out who's coming back, who's not coming back. And who are we missing? And where are we at? What's our baseline? How do we build from there? And we're figuring those things out as well. But I want to tell you, we're going to have a vision. We're going to have goals. We're going to have a plan. We're going to get there eventually. And I challenge you to have that as well. You want to make sure, not just for your ministry, but for the people in it as well. How can you help them go to the next level in their journey of faith? Remember, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. As you think about 2021, which, by the way, won't 2021 be a blessing? I think December 31st, 2020, we all ought to throw a party this year, is finally over. And I think COVID will be over. The election will be over. You know, all the other stuff will be over, and Lord willing. And we'll get started in 2021. And there'll be some remnants there for sure. But it's going to be a blessing to have a fresh start and a new year. And I just challenge you in your area of ministry, boy, be looking at 2021. Where are we going with this thing? And having excitement about the future for sure. Number five. What does a growing, vibrant ministry consist of? Leaders that have a soul-winning fervor. A soul-winning fervor. "He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I don't know about you, but I've learned in ministry that this is an area you have to be intentional about. Pastor, I can count on one hand the times that people have basically said to me, "What must I do to be saved?" And I've had the privilege of being in some scenarios where I've asked somebody and they were ready. I mean, it was the Lord had brought them to that moment and they were ready. But that's very, 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 very rare. Usually you have to go cultivate that for a while. Usually you got to go find somebody and invite them and invite them to church and let them hear the word of God being preached and sharing the gospel with them. And it's something that we have to stay intentional with. It's something that we have to stay consistent about and committed to. And I just challenge you to make sure at a heart and gut level that you have a soul-winning fervor. And I think that there are things you could maybe just ask yourself this morning. When's the last time you've invited someone to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? When's the last time you walked in on a Sunday morning for the 8:30 or 11 o'clock service and you had somebody with you who's never been there before? When's the last time you've asked somebody, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you would spend an eternity? When's the last time you had the opportunity to open the Scripture and just share with someone how they can know for sure that heaven is their home? This is the baseline of not just being in ministry, and I would think everyone in this room is in ministry, but what I'm talking about right now is the baseline of being a Christian, a disciple, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. You say, Gabe, well, how do you know that? Well, because if we're going to be like Christ, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. This was the passion of the Lord Jesus. He was here that people might be saved. And no doubt, this church and your ministry and your involvement exist so that people might be saved. And if it's going to be growing, if it's going to be vibrant, if it's going to be great in the coming days, it will be because there is a passion there for the things of the Lord and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evangelistic ministries are led by evangelistic leaders. If we want the ministry that we're involved in to be passionate about reaching people, we've got to be passionate about reaching people and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. These vibrant, growing ministries, number six, they have an emphasis on prayer. Now, in prayer, we get to engage in conversation with the God and creator of the universe. And as we seek his guidance and his forgiveness, but beyond all of that, prayer gives us the opportunity to move the hand of God to perform the supernatural. A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than prayer until you have prayed. It's imperative that we are praying for the ministries in which we are involved. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, Peter Wagner, an authority on church growth, said, the more deeply I dig beneath the surface of the church growth principles, the more thoroughly I am convinced that the real battle is a spiritual battle and that our principal weapon is prayer. There were some things we were dealing with even on the way out that there was no solution to but God. And I'm often reminded of the promise in Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I have sometimes in my ministry spent too much time talking to somebody about what God wanted them to do and too little time talking to God about changing their heart. Because I've talked to some people for hours and quite frankly, it was a waste of my time and their time. And what I should have been doing is being in the prayer closet and asking God to do in that heart what only God can do. If we're going to lead a growing, vibrant ministry, if we're going to train up children and teens and adults and various volunteers and areas of ministry, it will be imperative that we lead from a kneeled position, that we are involved in the spiritual battle of prayer for the people in whom God has given to us. And you know, sometimes we might look at our ministry and say, well, I don't see something dynamic happening. Well, we need to go back to our prayer closet and our prayer list. Are we asking God for something dynamic? Because we have not, because we ask not. God is still in the miracle working business. I am grateful for that. I believe that. I believe that God wants to do that here and through you and your ministry. But it will come through prayer. There's an emphasis there on prayer. Number seven, they have more of an emphasis on transformational life change than on social enjoyment. More of an emphasis on transformational life change than social enjoyment. I don't have time to develop this like I'd like to, but especially today in many circles, there is not only a bent towards the social enjoyment, in many circles there's a bent towards even social justice. In other words, we want to get the church together so that we can, you know, positively affirm the community in this way. Or we want to get everybody together so we have this thing or that thing. And it's turned into a social club or a fellowship time. And those things are not bad. We need them. But at the very heart of it, what we need is transformational life change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And it's imperative that in our ministries, from children to teens and adults, that we are seeing them become like Jesus Christ. Jerry Bridges in his book said, many Christians have what we call a cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior pattern of the Christians around them. And as the church culture becomes more or less holy, they become more or less holy. But God has not called us to be like those around us. God has called us to be like Himself, and holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. You know what we want our ministries producing? People like Jesus. Now, a ministry can only produce people like Jesus if the leaders are people like Jesus. None of us have arrived at perfection. We all still have a moment in our prayer time for confession because we need it, right? But we want to be leading people into the image of Christ. That's what I love about the Apostle Paul's ministry. Until Christ be formed in you. That was Paul's passion for the churches and the people in whom he had reached. And it must be our passion as well. Do we want our people to enjoy our ministry? Of course. To enjoy our class? Yes. To have fun? Yes. But most importantly, we want to see their life changed, becoming into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 8, they operate their class with excellence. They operate their ministry with excellence. They're doing what they do as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do with all thy might. And I appreciate the excellence of this meeting this morning. The room is clean. The chairs are set up. The refreshments are ready. The coffee is hot. We've got handouts. We're ready to go. Why? Because somebody cared. Somebody prepared. And somebody is committed to the excellence of our time together. I appreciate that. That's something I take note of. And we all should. I don't know about you. The room that I teach in, it matters to me. I want to make sure that it looks nice. I want to make sure that it's clean. I want to make sure the light bulbs all work. I want to make sure the sound system works. If we're going to have refreshments, then let's do it right. I want people to walk in and feel like they just walked into, you know, Waffle House or Cracker Barrel or whatever. I mean, if we're going to do it right. And let's do it big for the Lord. And we want to do it with excellence. When I was in junior and high school, I worked for a company called Willard Fence Company. And we built fence. And I started off being the professional hole digger. That was my job. And we'd go to a job and we'd clear a line, and every 10 feet you'd make your mark, and then I would come and I would take those post hole diggers and I would dig that hole. 2 feet down, 1 foot in diameter, and boy, I've done that thousands of times. I got older and began to be blessed. I had a truck and ran a crew and so on. And there were some guys in that company, and this was their motto. You can't see it from my house. And here's what that meant. It meant we are building this fence. It's not going exactly as it should. It's either not straight, plumb, level, whatever. But the customer will never know. And I can't see it from my house. It's good to go. Let's move on. And I just remember even as a young man thinking, I never want that guy doing work at my house. Because he may not be able to see it, but I can see it. And it matters to me. And you want to have that kind of spirit in the ministry. I can see it and it matters to me. I want to be committed to excellence for the things of the Lord. Number 9, they have a contagious excitement. Vibrant, growing ministries are led by people with a contagious excitement or passion for the things of the Lord. Fervent in spirit, the Bible says. And we want to be excited about what we get to do for the Lord. Hey, if you're not excited about your ministry, why should anyone else be excited about your ministry? And everybody shows passion differently, but you want to make sure it's there, that there's a love and a passion for what God allows you to do. The story is told of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, in the day that Queen Victoria of England wanted to meet him. She had heard so many wonderful stories about his work in the slums, and she wanted to find out the secret of his success. And so they met, and she asked him, how is it that you're doing what you're doing? And he said, well, Your Majesty, some men have a passion for money, and some a passion for things. But I have a passion for people. And I trust this morning that we have a passion for people and making a difference in their life. And then lastly, number 10, these vibrant, growing ministries are always doing something new. Always doing something new. The Lord taught about the attitude of the farmer in Luke 12, where he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You're good. Enjoy it for a while. But verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then those things that shall be which thou hast provided. Thou fool, all this that you have accumulated, what will it matter? Your life will be over. John, the Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, redeeming the time, because indeed the days are evil. And I know that when we talk about things that are new, our human nature's three phases, right? I first reject something that's new. Why? Because it's new. Then I tolerate it. Okay, I guess we got to do it, you know, this new thing. And then I finally accept it. And I just want to encourage you in ministry life, be open to things that are new. We don't do things the way we used to do them anymore. That's a reality. I'm not talking about changing God's word. I'm not talking about changing the name of the church. I'm not talking about changing the doctrinal statement. But there might be something about your ministry when you think of 2021 that you could do that is new. People like things that are new, fresh, something different. It gets us out of a rut. It might be where you stand when you teach. It might be something as simple as that. It might be we're going to do a time at the end of asking questions. It could be something so simple in your area of ministry, but be thinking about what could I do that is new? What is something that I could incorporate that would help me effectively serve the Lord that I'm not doing now? What is somebody else doing that maybe God is blessing that I could adapt in some way to what God has led me to do here? Vibrant, growing ministries are led by people open to doing things new. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a creature of comfort. I like things a certain way, and I don't always like new. But I try to surround myself with creative people and say, okay, what could we do that's new? And I have to fight my own nature of, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard, you know. Well, you ask for it, and be open to things and be willing to try things. But I've watched God bless some new methods along the way. And so let's just look at these principles and say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be in the ministry. I'm in it, so I want it to be vibrant and growing and pleasing to you. Are there some principles here that I could grow in? Are there some things here I could take some advancement in as we go into the fall, as we go into the new year, that the Lord would allow us together to lead growing, vibrant ministries. And I pray indeed that He will. Heavenly Father, we love You, and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the privilege of serving. And Lord, I think about the dear group here this morning who love You, who love their church and love their pastor, and are grateful for the privilege of serving You. Many of them have been doing it for a long time. Some have been in the church just a few weeks. And Lord, we're grateful for the people You have assembled, the team that is here. And we know that many areas of ministry are represented. But I pray that all of us would look at these principles and apply them to our life and ministry and say, Lord, would You help me to take a step forward? Would You help me to apply something that would help my area of ministry grow and be vibrant? Something that is obvious that God is at work. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking about, and we're done, and I'm going to hand it over. But could I ask you this morning, how many would say, Gabe, as we walked through that session, and as I heard and was reminded of these principles, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I see a principle or an area where I need to pay some attention, or to sow an emphasis, or to get back to something. God gave me something this morning that's going to help me. And I want you to pray with me that I would have the courage and faith to implement it, that my ministry may go forward for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand? God spoke to me. He showed me something this morning, and I needed that. I need to apply that to my area of ministry. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for these dear and faithful servants. Bless them. In the ministry You've given them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Rule, thank you so much. What a blessing. And I know personally there's some things that the Lord spoke to me about and all of that. So thank you so much. I believe the Lord will use it in our lives as we continue to try to go forward as a church and just to try to implement some things. And so I won't belabor anymore, but just to say thank you so much and look forward to how God wants to use those principles and those thoughts in the life and ministry of our church. And I'd encourage you, we'll have a break here in just a moment. But I'd encourage you with this session and the following session, don't just say, well, I did my duty. I went to the meeting they asked me to come to, because we don't have meetings just to have meetings. We have these things, and Brother Rule has prepared these things so that you can take them and you can go and you can think, how can I breathe fresh life into the ministry that we are doing, or that I'll be taking as we get some things started back up here. And I know there's a lot of things that I'm thinking about, different areas of the ministry that I'm over, that I'm thinking, how can I take that and do those things in them? And those are the questions we need to ask as we go forward. So thank you so much. Well, we do have, we have about a 15-minute time that we're just going to have just a break. You can use the restroom if you slipped in last minute and you weren't able to get any refreshments or anything like that. You got about 15 minutes that we'll take. And Pastor wanted me to, we have the Family Life Center open, so those restroom facilities are available just to kind of help it to go a little quicker so we don't get bottlenecked or anything. But if you need anything in that break time, then obviously stop us. Brother Rule will be around. You can ask him questions if you'd like to as well. And then we will get started with the next session at 20 till. So at 20 till, and we'll go. We'll be done with the whole day before 11:30, around 11:30, like we said. And so at 20 till, we'll start right back here and have another time where we get some instruction from the Lord. But thank you so much. You have your fellowship